There's an old Peanuts cartoon that has Lucy, as many of them are, a conversation with Charlie Brown. This time it happened to be about those folding deck chairs that you find on cruise ships. And Lucy said to Charlie, "Charlie, you ever seen on a cruise ship those deck chairs that people unfold, and some of them put them at the back of the ship because they want to see where they've been, and other people put them at the front of the ship so they can see where they are going. So on the cruise ship of life, Charlie Brown, where is your deck chair?" And Charlie has this puzzled look on his face when he says, "I don't know. I can't even get mine unfolded." And the fact is that that's true for us so many times in life. The fact is that we are all searching for direction and meaning in life, and we're all wanting to know what is the way that we are to go. I want to ask you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm in this series of messages that I've entitled Street Smarts because we're told in the book of Proverbs that wisdom is crying out in the streets. At the head of every street, there is wisdom speaking. The fact is that the wisdom of God has been given to us to show us the way that we are to live, how to live skillfully in such a way as to honor God. Now, the book of Proverbs is actually a collection of proverbs, and we see that indicated throughout the text, that there are various collections of different wise sayings by Solomon and some of the other very famous and wise people of his day. And some believe that the proverbs were written and given so that parents would have something to pass on to their children. Others believe that the book of Proverbs actually served as the curriculum for the training of young men and women to be leaders in King Solomon's vast royal administration. But whatever the case, the things we find in the book of Proverbs are things that we need to teach, that ought to be taught to our children and to our students, but then should be modeled by all of the rest of us. So I want to pick up reading in Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 1, where Solomon says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." And the next two verses may be the most familiar verses in all of the book of Proverbs. And maybe you have memorized these verses. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Just a couple of blocks from our church, there's a house on the corner, you've probably seen it, that has a sign out front that says Palm Reader. Have you seen that? I pray for them every time I drive by. I've never been inside one of those establishments, but I understand that people go there to talk to somebody who apparently has the ability to see the future by looking at the lines in a person's palm or turning over some strange cards. And why in the world anybody would want to pay money for nonsense like that escapes me. But the fact is that people want to know what the future holds. They want to know the direction that they're to take. And they go to somebody like this, hopefully to give them some guidance and some direction. The fact is that all of us are searching for direction in life. But the good news is that the Bible tells us that there is a source of wisdom that is infallible. And that as human beings, we were made to live the will of God. And my aim today is to help us to learn how to so interact with God and so walk in a relationship with him that the will of God will become the most obvious thing in life for us. Now, finding God's will can sometimes be rather complicated, can it? And sometimes confusing. At least we make it that way. Is God's will sort of like a giant scavenger hunt where God is playing this game with us? And he's teasing us with trying to find, so we have to go this place to get this answer and another place to get another answer, and we hope that we get them all in order and get to the final destination. Is God playing a game with us when it comes to his will? No, he's not. Sometimes we're afraid to know the will of God because we think in our minds that God's will is not something that I necessarily want to do. It's going to be something that's painful, and I would rather not go through that, and so we're afraid of the will of God. But I want to remind you today that we have a good God who desires good for his creatures, and his will for us is ultimately what is good for us. And as we pursue a relationship with him, as we chase after him and in a quest to know him, we will know what we're supposed to do in life. You see, God expects us to walk his path, but he's also good to illuminate that path. And then on top of that, he gives us the power to pursue that path. Now, we're memorizing a scripture verse through this series, and so I want us to say it together. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. That says that the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2, 6. Let's say it together. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 2, 6. So wisdom comes from the mouth of God. It is the very word of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God. Now remember what we're told in the scriptures, that 2,000 years ago, that word that came from the mouth of God, that word became flesh and dwelled among us. That is, that God's word became embodied in a human body in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at Jesus, we are looking at the embodiment of perfect wisdom. And when we receive Christ and put our trust in him and he comes to live in our lives, we are on a quest for wisdom to know him. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. And so what we see on the pages of Scripture now becomes real to us in the person of Jesus. He becomes our wisdom, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And so all of the principles and the precepts for wisdom that we find in the book of Proverbs are impossible for us to keep in our own strength because we are sinners. We fall short. But with the help of God and through a personal relationship with Christ, we have the ability to understand wisdom. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom comes to dwell within us, and we live the lives that we're supposed to live. Now, Proverbs 3, these verses, show us how to have such a vital relationship with God that knowing and doing his will becomes the most obvious thing in life for us. Now, I want to just focus on these two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. By the way, these are maybe my favorite verses in the Bible. If you asked me to pen down a couple of verses, I would probably say this. But I got to looking back on in my records, I don't think I've ever preached a sermon on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But it's such a familiar verse and passage to all of us. And it all starts here with what we do, all right? What we do. You read the first verses of Psalm 3, and you quickly see that this is not a passive thing. This quest for wisdom and understanding and finding God's direction is not a passive thing. It's active. It's not like we sit on the floor with our legs crossed and our thumb and our index fingers pinched together and hum and hope somehow that it just sort of drains into us. No. It's something active. We're on a quest for God's wisdom. Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching. Keep my commands in your heart. Proverbs 3:3, let love and faithfulness, which is the epitome of wisdom, never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You see, it's an active thing. And we come to verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's active. You know, it'd be great if our lives were like that little ride out at Six Flags where you get in this little car and it has a steering wheel, but you soon realize the steering wheel is worthless. It just spins around. There is an accelerator and a brake, but that's about all the control you have over this little car. And it begins, the ride begins just by taking this predetermined course, and all you have to do is just get in the car and ride. And I guess it would be easy if that's all there is to living the will of God, and certainly God is sovereign, and he has determined the path that we are to take. But the fact is that we don't just get in the car and ride. God expects us to make wise choices and to choose to follow the course of wisdom that he shows us, to pursue this wisdom. Now, the key to unlocking this passage is in that little phrase in verse 5, trust in the Lord. Do you see that? Trust in the Lord. That's the key to unlocking the whole passage. And it's a picture here. That word trust is a picture of someone just falling flat down. It means to fall down on your face. It's the picture of absolute surrender and abandon. And so, to trust in the Lord means that we abandon ourselves to him. When the Old Testament people of God saw that name, Lord, trust in the Lord, you see it in all caps in your version of the Bible, it signifies that's the name of the Lord, the covenant name of the Lord by which God revealed himself when he made his covenant with his people to promise that he will be everything for them that they need. And so, trust in the Lord. That's the beginning of it all. But it goes on to say that we are to trust in the Lord entirely. Trust in the Lord entirely. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. When we talk about trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, we're talking here about trusting in the Lord with every fiber of our being. The heart indicates our mind, our will, our emotions. It encapsulates everything that we are on the inside. And so when we trust him with all of our heart, we are trusting him with every fiber of our being. Remember, Jesus said the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And you see, when we are abandoned to God in this way, knowing and doing the will of God will become the most obvious thing in the world to us. Trust in the Lord entirely, but also we're told to trust in the Lord exclusively. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Now remember, we learned in Proverbs 2:6, in our memory verse, that understanding comes from the mouth of God. Remember that? And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So there is an understanding that comes from God. But here we see that there is something called our own understanding. And how is it different from the understanding of God? Our understanding is faulty. It is frail. It is selfish and sinful and therefore unreliable. And oh, how often we try to lean on this faulty understanding. It's sort of like a crutch for us. You know, when you're on a crutch and you have a leg or a foot that's weak, you lean on the crutch. You can't put your full weight on the crutch. You need a little help. But this is what we do so often in life, is that we are leaning like a crutch on our own understanding. And you want to know one of the best ways to identify if you are leaning on your own understanding? It is probably accompanied by worry. If you're trying to figure things out in your own strength, leaning on your own understanding, your life is going to be filled with worry and fear. We're not to lean on our own understanding. Why? It's because it's faulty, and it's sinful, and it's selfish. It's the exact opposite of what we're told to do, to trust in the Lord. Throw down your crutch and fall face down before God and absolutely depend upon Him. So, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So we are to trust in the Lord entirely. Trust in the Lord exclusively, but also we're to trust in the Lord extensively. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways. And by the way, you're going to see that word, that little phrase, ways and path, all the way through the Proverbs. God is concerned about our ways and our paths. So we look to God, and we look for God, and we strive to be aware of the presence of God around us at all times. We want to know God's will. Listen, this is so important, because so often we think about approaching a passage like this when we have a single decision to make. But what the psalm of the Proverbs is talking about here is an attitude in which we are so dependent upon God through all of life, in all of our ways, that we are content and concentrating on knowing Him and having a vital relationship with Him, so that when we face decisions, the will of God, knowing it and doing it is just the natural thing for us to do. We're talking about this wisdom coming in a relationship. And I will just remind you that this relationship for us today comes through Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ. Remember, we said earlier that the wisdom of God is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And so for us to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, to acknowledge the Lord, to know the Lord, we do so by first of all confessing and admitting that our understanding is sinful, that we cannot lean on our own understanding. And then confessing that to Him, and then trusting in the Lord through the name of Jesus Christ, trusting Him with all of our heart. And then we enter into such a relationship with Him that His Spirit comes to live within us, the Spirit of wisdom. And we know and we receive the will of God and the direction of God. It comes in a relationship. It's not, God doesn't want you just coming to Him when you have a decision to make and then ignoring Him the rest of your life. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. So that's what we do. But he also goes on to tell us what God does. It says in verse 6, and He will make your path straight. So that's what we do. And then this is what God does. Again, you're going to see ways, paths, all through the book of Proverbs. Because God is vitally interested in us finding and fulfilling his way for our lives. And can I just tell you, friends, that God is, as much as you want to know God's will, do you realize that He wants you to know it even more? He wants you to know His will far more than you want to know it. So He's not going to play hide and seek with you. He's not going to play a game with you. If you do what He tells you to do and trust Him with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding and acknowledge Him in all your ways, He will do what only He can do. He will make your path straight. He will make it clear. And He will clear the way for you to go down that path. That's what it means to make a path straight. He will direct your path. And I want to tell you, friends, today that God is faithful to this. There have been hundreds of times in the course of my walk with God that He has brought me back to these verses. when I have been fretting and trying to lean on my own understanding and trying to figure things out for myself and worrying. And he has brought me back to these verses. And I'm going to tell you something, he is faithful. And that when we enter into that interactive relationship with him and live in vital trust in him, he has obligated himself to make the path clear for us and to clear the path for us, to direct our path. He's faithful, friends. Now, each week I'm closing with a few things called street smarts for the week, all right? So what are the street smarts from this passage of Scripture from Proverbs for this week? If you'll just jot these down. First of all, acknowledge the weakness of your understanding. Acknowledge the weakness and the limitations of your own understanding. Don't think that you can figure this thing out without God. Don't think you can do this on your own. Acknowledge the limitations of your own understanding. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Yes, there are things that seem right to us because they are based on our own understanding. Proverbs 21:2, all a man's ways seem right to him in our own understanding. But the Lord weighs the heart. He knows what's in our hearts. So acknowledge the weakness and the limitations of your understanding. Next, align your life with the Word of God. Align your life with God's Word. Psalm 111:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see that also in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. So God gives guidance through his word, through his commands of Scripture. And as we live our lives to the best of our ability, obeying the light, the clear light that we have from Scripture. Now, it may not answer every specific question you have. You're not going to be able to scan through the pages of Scripture and find the name of the person that you're going to marry one day. You're not going to be able to scan through the Scriptures and find specific investment advice, even though there is great wisdom there. But what you're doing when you're aligning your life with the Word of God and saturating your life with the Scriptures, you are positioning yourself for God to give you light. When you have to make decisions, he will give you wisdom when you have to make decisions that are not specifically covered in the Word of God. So saturate your life and align your life with the Word of God. Next, access the wisdom of godly people. Access the wisdom of godly people. Proverbs 11:14 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation fails, but many advisors make victory sure." Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So I want to challenge you to have some people around you that you know are godly, that know how to hear from God. People that you can be accountable to, that you can bring the tough questions to, And that they serve as counselors to you when you have to make the big decisions in life. Make sure that you have those kind of godly, sensitive people around you to help you access their wisdom. They help us to see the dangers and the detours that may be hidden from us. Next, accept the Lord's correction. Accept the Lord's correction. Now, the process of gaining wisdom is sometimes in Proverbs called training. Training. Why? Because it isn't easy to learn to live the life of wisdom and to follow the direction of God. It requires discipline on our part. And sometimes God has to correct us and he has to take us through circumstances to discipline us. Not because he's punishing us, but because He wants us to understand the correct way. So he corrects us by taking us through these circumstances in life. And when we go through the hard times of life, we shouldn't chafe under those, because Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in." One of the ways we learn the wise way is to learn from our failures and our mistakes. And so God sometimes brings us face to face with circumstances that discipline us and cause us to think differently about our lives so that we can be on the path that God wants us to have and then act in obedience when God leads. Act in obedience when God leads. You see, the difference between wisdom and knowledge is that you can know everything in the world. Wisdom is the ability to skillfully put knowledge into practice and the streets of life. So act in obedience when God leads. Last weekend, Nan and I took a short road trip for our anniversary. And one of the things we like to do is we like to just travel some of the back roads and see some of the small towns that you wouldn't see if you just stayed on the interstate the whole time. Now, I put our final destination into the GPS on my phone, but we're driving along, and we see a historical marker, see a sign to a town. Well, let's try this road out, and so we get off the path. And I mean, it drives that sweet lady in my phone crazy. Return to the route. Return to the route. There was even one time when we were going the exact opposite direction from where we were supposed to go. And over, that sweet lady kept saying, "At the next intersection, make a U-turn. At the next intersection, make a U-turn." You see, the objective of that sweet little lady in my phone was to get us to the final destination. And so whenever we got off the path, she would tell us, "Return to the route. Return to the route. Make a U-turn." And friends, today you need to know that God has an ultimate destination in mind for every one of us. It's the same for every one of us as believers, and that is that we would be conformed to the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the final goal, that we would become like Jesus. And that will be ultimately fulfilled when we step into the new heaven and the new earth in our glorified bodies, where we will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven forever. That's the final destination. But every step along the way, there's a danger of us taking detours and getting off the path. Some of you knew the right thing to do many years ago when you were growing up and you had your parents giving you guidance, but you've got off the path. And the Spirit of God kept saying to you, "Return to the root, return to the root." Some of you have so turned your back on God, you're going in the exact opposite direction from where you should be going, and the Holy Spirit is saying, "At the next intersection, make a U-turn, make a U-turn." That's what the Bible calls repentance. And again, all of this is wrapped up in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have Jesus, you don't have wisdom. You're on your own. And again, the proverb says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. That's where you're heading without Jesus. And so today is the day for you to return to the root, to make the U-turn, to repent of your old way of life and put your trust in Christ today. Or maybe today is the day for you to realize, you know what, I was on the right path years ago, and I haven't been walking with God. And I haven't been in the Word of God, so I've been making decisions without the benefit of the counsel of God. And I need to return. I need to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. I want to ask us to bow our heads together in prayer. And as we wait before the Lord today, is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart about the path that God would have you go? Path to turn to Jesus. the path to return to Jesus, the path to surrendering your life to a service, a lifetime of service to God on the mission field or in ministry, the path of active involvement in the life of a church and linking your life with our church today. This is the day to get on that path. Father, thank you for the wisdom of your word, and we submit to it today in Jesus' name.